You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
From the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
I'll be sure.
Yeah, I played the wrong intro. That was actually the show from last week. That's why you heard him laugh, because he's not on the phone right now. We're having technical issues. So, these are the Rolling Stones. It's not really the bumper I wanted to play. I wanted to play a Van Morrison song. This one. Dark end of the street.
To the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road. I don't know why, but this song, it's kind of like my magical pen. It makes me happy. Speaking of happy, the chef got to see his brother and sister for a week. And,
hello.
Hello. How did it go?
It was spectacular. They're driving back to Annapolis right now. And they just left here yesterday, drove as far as Racine, Wisconsin, south of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
A hell of a truck yesterday. And they're listening as we speak.
Oh, really? So you want to say hi to
them? Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Pat. Hello, Casey.
There you go.
I hope you're having a great ride. You got a super car.
So wait a minute. So did your sister fly to Kentucky and then they drove from there? Did your sister drive all the way?
No. They both flew into Grand Forks.
What?
And then they rented a car.
Yeah.
We loaded it up with stuff that my grandmother had, and we're kind of consolidating it. It was a big coffee table and some copper pots and pans, some blown glass, soapstones, all kinds of stuff for Casey's daughters. And so they took off yesterday morning about 7 o'clock and just started trucking.
So is your brother going to drive all the way to Annapolis with her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then...
what a good dude.
Yeah, he's the best. He is a stud muffin par excellent. He's a great guy. And Casey's awesome. It was just a super week. And Monday and Tuesday, we went down to Walker and hung out. The weather was perfect. Hung out with Bob and Bob's daughter Kelly, her husband. And then the day we were leaving, Bob's late wife's son, Peter Ryan, showed up with his son and wife and Amy, and it was just great. It's just a wonderful week. Just, we hit a ball. And
so tell me about the food. How was the food?
I was just going to start doing that. I think Beth and I were very well prepared. Yeah, and so they got in on a Friday, and that night we had Alaskan scallops with this jade sauce Beth made up with parsley and garlic and olive oil and salt, pepper, and a little lemon juice. And that went over the scallops. We had wild rice and a salad. Very, very good. And then the next night...
Saturday. Okay, hold on. You can't tell me everything you ate all week. Okay, that's too boring. What was the best...
I'm just going to say one more thing.
Well, no, I was going to say, what was the best thing you ate?
The steak, Saturday night.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was 2-inch, 40-ounce porterhouse.
That's Fred Flintstone steak, brontosaurus, man.
It was monster, and it was a prime cut, 30-day aged, and I turned my grill, all my burners on high. I pulled the steak out an hour before we put it on the grill to let it come to room temperature.
Nice.
Put kosher salt, pepper on it, a little olive oil, light olive oil. And then when I put it on the grill, I turned the back two burners off, so it just went on the main grill. The steak fit perfectly at about 600 degrees, and seared it for 5 minutes on each side, and then put it on the indirect heat and turned the steak so it would get the crosshairs, and another 3 minutes aside, pulled it off, and put it on the cutting board under a piece of foil, and then put a piece, and then put maitre d' butter I had made up on top of the steak while it was resting, and then covered that with a tent, a foil tent, for, I guess, 10 to 15 minutes, I don't know. And we ate our salad then, and then pulled it out, and then we had the little gopher nugget, red potatoes, the new potatoes, with this red chimichurri sauce on the potatoes, and some white asparagus, and it was kick ass. It was a really good one.
All right. Hold on, I have an email for you, Mac. Did they get in any fights? Come on, every family gets together, they fight. Did you get any fights?
No, we didn't. We didn't get in any fight.
Come on, man. Why are you?
I was. No, we didn't.
No fight.
I hadn't seen him in 5 years.
So it doesn't mean you can't get them. I mean, so for a day and a half, everything's good. Then you got to get all the old blood's got to come out, right? You got to, hold on. Here's an email from your sister, listening live on Route 65. Hey, Mac.
Yeah.
And she misspells my name.
Yeah.
M-A-C. Okay. It's Irish. Come on, Casey. What the hell? You guys aren't Irish, though. You guys are like German, mutt, English, kind of stuff like that, right?
English, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
There you go. The English, once again, oppressing the Irish by misspelling an Irish name. So, nice, Casey.
You poor baby.
I know.
Get it together. No, we didn't. We didn't argue at all.
Not a bit. You didn't, like, bring up, like, the old, hey, let's go there again. And you're like, oh, no, come on. You didn't even do that?
We did all kinds of stuff, and we did more laughing than anything else. And, you know, it was fine. We had fun. What can I say? When you haven't seen him in 5 years, a little starved for seeing your family.
Right.
And me being the oldest, you know, I have, I'm a pretty strong personality. And I guess I tweaked my sister a couple of times.
Were you nice to her?
I was great. I
oh,
thought it was.
You. I thought it was
she'd
great.
She'd have to text you
yeah, no shit.
And tell you her what she thought. But,
okay. There's another,
yeah,
hold
yeah,
on. Here's another email for her. Hey, Mac, ask the chef what parsley actually does. I always believed it to be tasteless. When to use it is the question. So what's the function of parsley? And people for decades have seen it on, you know, you get eggs and yeah, you get eggs and sausage, and there'll be parsley on the plate. So you see it on the plate. First of all, why do people do that? And then second of all, in cooking, what do you use it for?
Well, the purpose of parsley is because it's got chlorophyll in it, and it cleans your breath. So you're supposed to eat your parsley. At least that's the way I approached it at Sanders. Every plate had parsley with a radish rose on it. And
but nobody eats it, though. I don't know anybody. Nobody even knows about it. It was like a secret.
Unless some jerk in the restaurant didn't wash it. And you take a chomp out of it, and you got sand in it or some kind of nonsense.
Right.
But that's the purpose.
That's the purpose.
That's the purpose. But it's also when you put it in like a maitre d' butter with garlic. I had grated lemon rind in there. I had some tarragon. The butter and the garlic flavors the parsley a little bit, and it's, you know, it's nice bright green.
Okay, so in cooking, what do you use it for? So other than that evidently piece of culinary art that nobody knows about, eat it. It'll clean your breath. Really, I'd rather eat a breath mint. Okay, so all right, so that. So what do you in cooking? What do you use it for?
Well, when you make a stock, you put a whole bunch. You buy them in bunches at the grocery store.
Right.
You throw that in there with onions, carrots, celery, whatever your stock is, and it just helps the flavor, keeps the liquid clean, and if you want to have a broth that you is real clean, then you'll put an egg in there, shell and all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so there is really no use for it. You could just, it's like...
No, you can throw it out if you want.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to notice it. Oh, shit, I know what I forgot to add. The parsley, I can taste it. things you've never heard before. Like, let's go eat Irish food. Things, you know, nobody says that, right? So, here's another email. I suck. We are Irish. My name is Casey. My brother's name is Patty. We all bow down to Kim, so no fights, no matter how big an asshole he is. That's how the peace gets kept, right?
That's right. That's right. Dr. Love. Dr. Love is in the house.
Yeah, so when they hear you're Dr. Love, do they just laugh and like, yeah, it ain't that way?
Pretty much.
They laugh and like, you're so not about love, it's a joke.
Okay.
No, that's what I'm saying, because she says we have to agree with him, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, now you're gonna pout? You're going to be like that?
No, I'm not pouting.
You sound like you're pouting.
I could give a shit.
Oh, now you're going to get all butch and turn on your sister? That's nice. That's nice.
We just have a... That's just the way it rolls.
That is the way it rolls. That's what they're saying, yeah. We are... You said you weren't Irish, though. Do you not know your own lineage?
I just thought I was a mongrel dog.
So you don't know.
I had a dose of everything in it.
Really? Did you? That explains it. What
German,
about, did you never,
Irish, English,
did you never do like Ancestry.com or anything like that?
No. My sister did.
She did? Did you look at her?
Casey's older, my younger, Casey's older sister.
Right. So she did it.
Yeah.
Did you look at it or just go smoke another bowl?
No, she just said, we came over and landed in Rhode Island.
When?
Real early in the start of this show.
In the start of what?
America.
Oh, really? You're Blue Bloods.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh, so you're like aristocracy. I didn't know that.
No wonder. Where's my money?
No wonder your grandmother was the food editor for Ladies Home Journal.
Yeah.
Now, see, now it's all starting to make sense to me now. And you were like the rebel with the preppy rebel without a cause.
Yes. Oh, I had a cause.
What was the cause? You're a rich kid. What was the cause?
No, having a great time.
That was my cause. Just so you know, that's not really a cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, for what it's worth. All right, here's another email. You may have already covered this, but did I just hear him say he put kosher salt on his steak? There's a ton of great rubs and stuff out there. I'm a little bit shocked that he simply uses kosher salt. Why is that? Kim, why is that?
I like to taste the meat.
Oh.
Period. And salt and pepper, that's enough. You know, there's rubs. If you're barbecuing a pork shoulder or a ham or whatever you want to do, or a brisket,
right.
There's a million types of rubs. But I see these chefs on TV that all they do is some put nothing on their briskets, right. And some rub it with pepper or salt,
right.
And some use their secret spice dust.
There you go. We love that.
That they won't tell anybody that's in it.
Come on, man.
And it usually has cayenne, seasoning salt, and garlic powder and onion powder and all kinds of stuff. I just like it plain. And when you're paying a lot of money for a great steak, I want to taste the fucking steak.
Oh, now we're going to get all butch and bow up like that?
No. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I just want to taste the steak.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you put on your steak. Some have, you know, great results with different types of rubs.
So oh, yeah.
I don't eat a lot of steak, and when I do, I just want to taste steak.
That's all you want.
That's all.
That's all you want.
Not any magic or any, but for me it works, and I love it.
So you're just a lonely guy looking for a steak? Is that what you're trying to sell me right now?
Something like that. Lonely guy from God knows where, Hagerstown, Maryland.
Looking for a steak. Looking for a steak.
All right,
if that's what it is.
I had to come to North Dakota and then order my steak from New Jersey.
It is amazing, though, because I think most people are surprised by that because, you know, you go down the aisle where they have rubs and different things.
Oh,
my God. I mean, that aisle is pretty amazing. There used to be nothing on that aisle. Now?
Yeah. Right. The only thing on the aisle was bay seasoning or Lowry's seasoning salt.
Yeah. Those were your choices.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that was it. And now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it takes you half an hour to get through the rub section.
Yeah. No, that's.
If you're
that's
serious
okay.
about looking.
That's no kidding. And so, no, I understand why people would be surprised that you would be just a salt and pepper guy. Like, really? What's his favorite ice cream? Vanilla? Like, whoa, do we need to go there? And what's wrong with vanilla ice cream? I'm a fan of it.
Yeah. It's only good if it's with chocolate.
Well, come on, man. Hershey's chocolate? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the nectar of the gods right there.
Yeah, and what type of chocolate ice cream?
No, it's vanilla ice cream. It's Dreyer's vanilla bean ice cream.
Yep.
With Hershey's chocolate syrup. Boom. Oh. Done. Over. Don't give me Smuckers. That tastes like garbage. All right. Don't give me anything else. That tastes like garbage. And you know, bad ice cream sucks. You're eating and you're like, this is shit.
Oh, it does. It's the worst.
I know.
I'd rather not eat anything. I'd rather eat a popsicle.
Yeah. Then eat caca.
Yeah.
Caca ice cream. What kind of ice cream is that?
Oh, caca ice cream.
Yeah, it's caca.
It's caca ice cream. It's a new brand.
It's a new brand called caca. Yeah. Really? I've never heard of it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you have. Remember when you were 4 and your mom asked you what you did in the bathroom and you said caca? That's what this is. Oh, that caca. Oh, I thought it was something else. Here's another email. Mac, I have another grilling question for the chef. Has he ever grilled a lobster?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Do you have to boil it first before you cook it or and then warm it?
No. No. Well, you can do that.
All right.
But the best way to do it is you take a live lobster, you place it on its back, and you have a big, sharp cleaver or long French knife. Carving knife with some weight to it, and then you smack it, you cut it in half right down the middle.
Right down the middle.
From head to tail. So you have two pieces of lobsters, you know, two halves.
Yeah.
And then you just butter on one side,
yeah,
or oil if you want. I prefer butter, and I'll throw them on the grill with the cut side up at first, and that and the butter will trickle down into the meat, and it'll turn red. It'll start turning red, and about 5 minutes like that. And then you flip them over,
right,
and grill them with the meat side down to get the grill marks on the lobster.
Right.
And then make sure you have some drawn melted butter to dip your lobster in. And there you go.
Now, do you need to have the the spray bottle, because when you flip the lobster and the
I would recommend having the fire department there.
the butter goes into the fire, right?
The spray bottle, yeah. And the mister, and then just keep the flame down if it flares, and then a couple of minutes there. It shouldn't take more than 8 minutes on the grill, 8 to 10 minutes on the grill, depending on the size of the lobster.
Of course, of course. And if you have your digital meat thermometer, you'll know when that is. Right? You're really just...
Bingo.
You're right.
Bingo.
All right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Here's another email. Mac, I'm curious, does he like his brother or sister, or did he just tolerate him? So do you actually like them as human beings, or is it just like, it is family, so we got to do this shit? I don't, you know.
I love them.
Oh, really?
I do. I'm sorry, you guys, but I got no qualms with my siblings. We've had our moments.
They evidently have qualms with you. We agree with them because...
Yeah, obviously, they do. And
why? Did you used to lay down...
They have to deal with themselves because... when they're around, the one member of my family that I've never, ever, ever had qualm with is my brother. I think he is the stud of studs.
Let's talk about that. So how much older are you than your brother?
Oh, what? he's counting right now. Let's see, 3, 6, 7 years? 7 years.
Oh, well, so you guys couldn't fight. There's no fight. There's no contest, right?
No. And he wasn't interested.
Oh, and, trust me. If he had been a little closer in age, he would have got interested.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bowing up and being butch after you came back from the concrete block plant, right? You're gonna lay the smack down? And he's like, I ain't having that shit.
No,
come on, let's go. You want a piece of me? Let's do this. But when you're seven years old, dude, that's not a good fight. That's a bad fight, right?
You've heard the story, you know, that Dad tricked me into going to work at the block plant,
right.
And when it came his time to go to the work at the block plant, he said, fuck no, I'm not going to work there.
He said, no?
I'm going to be a lifeguard. And he got his lifeguard certificate, which is what I wanted to do. So he sat in a lifeguard chair and look at little Juanini's walking around the pool. And after that, I said, oh, man, how did he do that?
All those chubby Midwest girls,
he's been my hero forever.
All those chubby Midwest girls in their one-piece bathing suits. It's all about it. In Cincinnati.
Oh, no. The 60s bikinis were what. That was what it was all about.
Don't kid yourself. They're Midwest girls. Come on. So he was at the pool. So he told your stepdad, like, yeah, I ain't having it?
Yeah, I something like that. Yeah. It wasn't his thing. He didn't want to do it, and he wasn't going to do it. And
so was your stepdad okay with that?
He got a job. And a lot smarter than me. I'll tell you that. Both of them are.
So you and he never got drunk and got in a fight or anything like that?
No, never. We got drunk.
Never got a fight. Wow.
Pretty sure I got them both high. I know I got my sister high.
Ooh. Easy with the family secrets there. Here's another question. Can we go back to lobster? So
yes.
Is there anything you do to prepare it? Other than cut it down the center after you smack it once good, do you soak it in anything, a marinade or anything? Is there anything prior to? It sounds pretty easy, and it sounds pretty delicious. I love grilled lobster when I go to restaurants. I've never done it myself.
No, it's that's all.
That's easy.
That's what you have to do, you want to buy them... when they're live, you don't want to buy them frozen. Whole frozen lobsters, you've got to get them out of a fish tank somewhere. And even in North Dakota, I used to do restaurant lobsters for the restaurant. And I would have them shipped overnight from Maine. And they'd come... claw, you know, they have to put the rubber bands over the claws.
Right, because they're so big.
So they don't hurt you. And, but they're kicking, the tails are flapping. And, usually I would grill them once in a while, but mainly I would drop in a pot of boiling salt water, for the restaurant because we had so much other stuff to do. But if somebody did a special order for a grilled lobster, then I would do that.
Hmm. Okay. All right. But no, I mean, so there's not, you don't have to do anything special before you throw it on there. Well, that's good.
No.
That's good.
Right. You don't have to. No, it's, there's lots of brine and water inside the shells that'll kind of self-steam it in there.
Right.
And then, you know, when you butter it, and you just have to have lots of drawn butter and lemon juice, lemon wedges.
Lemon wedges.
I like lemon wedges on squeezed on my lobster too.
Yeah. Next question, Matt. Could you ask Kim what is the difference between Swiss cheese and baby Swiss cheese?
Well, there, Switzerland has a lot. Every canton, there's 26 cantons in Switzerland.
What does that
they're
mean?
They're like states in America.
Okay, got it.
And they're, each canton has its own cheese, you know, Appenzeller, Swiss, Emmentaler, Gruyere, Raclette. I mean, but baby Swiss, those are the little tiny, the way I read it, is baby Swiss are those little wax rounds. They're called baby Swiss, and you can buy them in little plastic net contain, you know, that hold a dozen or so, and they weigh an ounce or two. A Swiss cheese is probably the Swiss cheese you're thinking of.
Yeah.
It's called Emmentaler, and that has holes in it.
Yep.
You know, Swiss cheese with holes, your typical stuff you see. My favorite Swiss cheese is Gruyere, and that's a nuttier flavor and a more pungent aroma. And it's absolutely my favorite. And you can buy Gruyere. I just bought some Gruyere at Sam's Club. But I like to buy Jarlsberg for my Swiss cheese style Swiss cheese with a hole in it. But that's made, and I buy it at Sam's because it's big chunks, you know, 10, 12 bucks for, I don't know, a pound, more than that, weight-wise. And that has holes in it. And that has a milder flavor than Gruyere. But I like, when I made fondue in Switzerland and when I got back to the States, I used Emmentaler, I used Gruyere, and then I use raclette cheese, those three cheeses. And but then again, in Switzerland, you go over there and say you're in Lausanne, Switzerland. That's the French part. They'll make their fondues differently than they will in the German part where I worked, or the Italian part, the Tessin, it's called. Down that connects with Italy in the southern Switzerland.
All right, let me answer the question. The difference between Swiss cheese and baby Swiss, I looked this up. Baby Swiss is slightly lighter and tastes a little sweeter than regular Swiss cheese. So regular Swiss cheese has a mild flavor that is slightly sweet and nutty. Baby Swiss is smoother, creamier, and milder than its regular counterpart. That is from the cheese expert. There you have it.
Yes.
And
Dr. Mack.
Exactly. Then what Kim said. Here's another question. Does Kim have a favorite cracker that he serves with cheese? Speaking of cheese.
Yes, I like Ack-backs.
I don't. I like club crackers. Does that make me white trash? Because if it does, no. I don't care. Because club crackers are the bomb.
Are you a Ritz cracker guy?
No, I'm not. No, club crackers before Ritz crackers.
Oh, okay.
Are you a Ritz cracker guy?
I like Ritz crackers, yes.
But I love club crackers. So do you love a cracker?
Yeah,
you don't sound like you love a cracker.
Yeah. Yeah, I like crackers. Yeah, I love them.
But you don't love them.
Yeah, I love any cracker that, you know, they're so damn many different.
I know.
Club,
which one do you, which one do you love? Ack-Mack?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea. Never heard of it.
Well,
how do you spell it?
It's in every grocery store.
Oh, really? We're going to go there now?
It's a healthier cracker.
Oh, there you go.
It's a wheat cracker, but it has good flavor, not a lot of sodium.
Ack Mac crackers. Like, let me see if I can recognize the package. Don't even recognize the package. It looks healthy. No wonder I've never eaten it.
Yeah.
Now, when did you start eating Ack Mac crackers?
Oh, about 15 years ago.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to say about 2 years ago. When you had to get healthy.
Oh, shit. Yeah. No, I discovered it one time, and I loved it. Our Borsan cheese that we make, and that on an Ack Mac is really good.
Ack Mac crackers are made of whole of the wheat flour. I don't even know what that means. Organically grown, whole of the wheat flour, clover honey, sesame oil, naturally cold pressed, not solvent extracted, dairy butter, sesame seeds, yeast, and salt. There you have the ingredients. Because
there you go.
Because I care. All right. The what?
No, thank you.
Hey, did I tell you I'm going to the I didn't tell you I'm going to the Air Force Academy to speak.
Congratulations. That is a monster.
How cool is that? And guess who's there teaching? Jacques Lamoureux.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so hopefully he's going to introduce it. So two dudes from Grand Forks, rolling large, man.
Oh, man. You'll have a ball.
How cool is that? No, I'm excited. I've known Jacques since he was, I don't know. Jacques as a little kid. Well, Jacques as a kid was kind of, kind of a prick, right? So, anyway,
yeah.
His sisters, you know, and he had an older brother, had two older brothers, a younger brother, and then the twin sisters. So, Jacques, but Jacques was, he did not suffer. Like, he was a really good athlete, and, he had, you know, he played with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So, here's a funny story about it. So, in the winter, in the northern tier, in hockey country, what they do is they put up the boards, and then once the ground freezes, a water truck comes around, and they start squirting water on the grass inside the boards. And the water freezes, so you have an ice rink. And then they get the Zamboni out that they bring out on a trailer. They cut the ice, and they do this once a day, and there's a warming house. So the kids get out of school, they go home, get their skates, their stick, right? They just wear their normal gloves they wear around town. And then some might wear hockey gloves, depending on how cold it is. And then they wear, you know, get your favorite bomber hat or something like that, and you go hang out at the park and you play. So one day, now, Jacques would have been maybe 12, Patrick's 9, I think. That would have been the age difference. So Patrick comes home from the park, and he's limping. And I said, what happened? And he said, Jacques slashed me. I said, what? Yeah. Like, Jacques 3 years older. I said, what happened? Thinking, like, Patrick probably lipped off or did something. He said, well, he had the puck, and when he went to make a move, he slowed down to make a move. I was coming up behind him. And then I popped his stick up, I took the puck, and I curled, and I went the other way, right? Now, Jacques would not accept that a 9-year-old kid took the puck from him, right? So, he turns, and smokes the back of Patrick's like right leg with his stick. Patrick goes down, Jacques takes the puck, and continues up the ice, as he initially had planned. And
that's funny.
I look at Patrick, I'm like, you're not supposed to slash a little kid. He's like, yeah, so we might want to tell him that. So anyway, but Jacques played hockey at the Air Force Academy.
Air Force, yeah.
And he's gone on to have a career as an officer in the Air Force, and now he's back there instructing. And come from one of the best hockey families. And again, good people, families that either Kim or I know, Pierre and Linda, they have, 5 or 6 kids? 1, 2, 3.
Six kids,
4 boys and the 2 girls, and they're good, they're all good people. And, We moved up there and became
to the core good people.
Yeah, we moved up there and became friends with Pierre and Linda and all the kids, and they're just they're good people. And so really cool to watch the two girls win the Olympic gold medal, and Monique tied the game with about 3 minutes left. Wired one and went top cheese on a Canadian goaltender, and then Jocelyn with her sick ass move in the shootout. Won it. So kind of a story.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. So Jacques was he's a finalist for the Hobie Baker
Hobie
Award,
Baker.
Which is the Heisman Trophy for college hockey players. And it'll be fun. So yeah, gonna go in about 10 days. So pretty quick. So I'm excited.
Well, you give him my best.
Because, I will.
He married one of my servers.
Oh really?
Yeah, and when he was stationed in Alaska when he was in the Air Force, I'm pretty sure it was Jacques. And they're not married now, they got divorced, but
So I'm looking forward to it, because like I said,
good. You give him my best.
Yeah, known him since he was 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and you watch kids grow up and. You know, and do the things that they do. I mean, watching the girls do what, you know, what they did, and ultimately, in the Olympics, representing their country.
Yeah.
Watching them in their fight with USA Hockey for not even equal pay, but more representative pay. And so, very, very, very cool. I mean, again, because you've known them since they were 8 years old.
And I read where they're, both practicing to play in the next Olympics.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they both had babies after they...
Yeah. They both had children.
They both had kids and wanted to start a family, and they've done that. And so hopefully they'll play again. And so, it's fun. It's fun seeing, doing stuff like this and doing... post-traumatic winning and having Jacques introduced or whatever, have some part in it would be very cool. So excited about that. I've never been to the airport.
Colorado Springs?
Yeah, I've never been there.
It's...
where is it? Is it near Denver?
It's south of Denver, about an hour and a half.
So how do you get there? Do you fly into Colorado Springs? Or fly
you fly into,
Denver? Into
Colorado Springs, yeah.
Oh, they have their own airport.
Oh yeah, it's in fact, last year when the Sioux flew out to play Denver, they had to land in Colorado Springs and bus up to Denver for the game.
Interesting.
So you'll like it. It's right below Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
Good. Mexican joints.
Really?
Are you flying or driving?
No, I'll fly. I've got to be back, and I do the same thing the following day, or a day. Oh. I have a day in between. So looking forward to that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's huge. That's just so huge.
Yeah. The here's another question for you, Matt. Can I go back to parsley?
You go anywhere you want. So on this show.
So let me get exactly. So let me get this straight. It has no functional value, essentially.
Well, it does have a flavor.
No, tell the truth.
It's not a dominant flavor. It's just something it's so cheap.
I think it was done for presentation value. I mean, put a little green on there, right?
Yeah, it does.
Right.
It is presentation. That's we sure did it. You used it a lot.
Right. See, I know these things about food now, presentation. Yeah.
Yes.
That means how it looks on the plate.
Yeah. Right.
For all you rubes out there that don't know anything about cooking like me.
You start to eat by looking at the plate, and if it's pretty... You say, "Oh, it must taste good."
Yeah, so it's part of the trick.
Yes, it is.
Whoa,
Who would have
good
thought?
Good looking plate helps sell the food. A nice bouquet of parsley and a radish rose.
You know, oh, yeah. get your wallet out, baby.
Yeah, you're coming into big time money.
That's hilarious. Mac, I know you don't really discuss politics very much on the program, and I know that the chef is a Democrat. At least that's the way he sounds. Does he have a favorite who he's supporting among all those Democratic candidates? Yeah, there's, what, 20-something of them? Do you have a favorite?
Just one. I really don't.
Just one.
It's too early right now.
Just one. Come on.
Let them beat up on each other.
Come on. Who do you like? Give us your favorite right now.
Well, I'd have to say the one I think would probably do a great job is Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, there you go. There's the chef's favorite right there, Liz Warren. We'll see if she makes the cut.
She's in second place right now behind Joe Biden.
There you go, Joe Biden.
Bernie slipped to sixth, I think.
Yeah, what happened to him? He was the man.
And I like Mayor Pete from
Mayor
South
Pete
Bend.
From South Bend.
He's a smart sucker.
Yeah.
That guy.
He's got some issues at home, though.
Yeah, I know he does. That's right. What he has to deal with, and he's young.
Right.
But I was kind of hoping he'd run for the open Senate seat from Indiana. I think he'd be a great senator.
Oh, really?
And get a little Washington seasoning, because that's a crazy.
Does Indiana elect Democratic senators?
I don't know that they have in a while, but they used to. But not recently, I don't think.
Interesting.
Here's another
food question. Mac, what type of butter does the chef use? We've talked about this. European creamy butter.
Unsalted butter.
Unsalted butter, which I can't even fathom. Can you explain to everybody? So what brand of butter do you buy?
We have a local Land of Lakes butter.
Land of Lakes. You can buy Land of Lakes out here.
Yeah, it's an unsalted creamy butter. Creamery butter.
Okay. I buy the salted version, though.
Yeah, I understand. Most people do. I've had, especially one you know, Hal, would come in and order, we'd put our basket of bread on the table when people sit down.
Yeah.
And we had unsalted butter cut. And he would take that, butter the bread, and then take the salt shaker and sprinkle it with salt.
There you go.
But when I'm cooking, I don't want to use unsalted butter. I like to salt things as I'm cooking and then flavor it that way, add the salt that way. But it's a matter of preference. But that's how I've always rolled. Because that's how I was taught. No salt.
No salt.
No salt. Salt the butter.
Here's a baseball question. Mac, how about your Yankees? They're annihilating people. What's up with that? Yeah, we haven't talked baseball very much, but Yankees and Dodgers. But I don't think the Yankees are going to get to the World Series because I don't think their pitching is good enough. The Yankees have a bunch of guys, or three guys now, that have carried their team for weeks. And it's a third baseman who's never hit above 234. He's hitting 320. He's hit about 15 home runs. Yeah, his name. And I'll tell you what, he can play third base, which is what he did. He played for Cleveland. But he's, for whatever reason, he's killing it now. They have a guy named Mike Tuchman, who was in the Rockies organization. he's been, he's now, I mean, he's like doing his Babe Ruth impersonation. And then a guy who's a journeyman, a guy named Cameron Maybin, journeyman outfielder. I think he's been on 14 different teams. And he's hitting like 320 and hitting home runs like it's cool. And they got a guy from Colorado by the name of DJ LeMahieu, who's, I'd never seen him play that much because he played in the National League, but he's a great player. And everybody else has been hurt. And it's just been amazing to watch. They have the best record in the American League, second best record in baseball to the Dodgers. So it's been amazing to watch. But they do not have enough starting pitching. And unless there's a miracle that happens in the next 6 weeks, Houston will represent the American League in the World Series. And it'll be a good match between them and the Dodgers, who ought to be the National League representative. And then the Dodgers can tank it again because they're too smart for everybody. So my prediction is Houston will win the World Series, and Kim will be crying again. So he gets to
usually the way it's been the last 2 years.
I know the Dodgers are just too smart for their own good, and the people here are pissed about it. So just so you know, if you're looking for a barometer. But yeah,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see? I just saw last night where the Yankees and the White Sox are going to play an exhibition game in Iowa in the Field of Dreams.
Yes, I saw that.
Okay, good.
Have you seen the commercial for it?
Yeah.
Where Aaron Judge, talk about one of the coolest guys in baseball. He's not playing very well right now, but he was hurt the first part of the year and still kind of struggling to get his groove on. But he's doing okay, but he's better than he's playing now. But anyway, he's a good-looking, mixed-race guy. He is now the face of baseball. His jersey is the number one seller in the nation. And there's a commercial, if you haven't seen it, where they put him into the movie. How that, you know, the wonders that they could do with stuff now, right? So he must have done the thing in front of the blue screen, right? Where at the end of Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner and his dad play catch, right? And his dad has to go back onto the field, but once he goes back onto the field, right, he goes to heaven or wherever he goes, right? And so so the scene is Costner standing there, and then they cut, and he's looking at Aaron Judge. And then Costner says, go play. And Judge kind of looks at him and like with his look of hesitation on his face. And then back to Costner, go, it's okay. And then, or whatever he says, and Judge takes off and he runs onto the field with the corn stalks in the background, and it's very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I saw that this morning, but yeah, it's, I saw that. And Major League Baseball, they played a game at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, I want to say last year, and they played a game up at Williamsport. And what they do is they build the stadium. They come in and it's got to be a major league facility. And then, I want to say for the Field of Dream things I saw, they're only going to have 8,000 seats.
That's right.
First time Major League Baseball will ever play in Iowa. So that's pretty cool. And I saw some interviews with some players and they're like, well, yeah, I mean, I grew up watching that, right? And, you know.
30 years old, that movie now.
If you build it, he will come.
Yep.
Right?
That was great.
Ease his pain. Like, what is he talking about? Right? Then he goes and he finds James Earl Jones. And interesting. Interesting stuff. What else am I going to ask you? Hold on, here's another email. Mac, I believe, and I can't remember how long ago this was, but the chef was talking about serving fresh bread in his restaurant. Did they make it by hand? Did they buy the dough already made? And how what time and how far in advance did they make the bread? So you want to talk about your bread operation?
Good question.
I baked
French baguette, flour, water, salt, and yeast. And that's it. And I would come in the morning, usually around 6 or 7 in the morning. I'd mix it, let it rise for 2 hours, and two bowls, and then punch them down, meaning deflate all the air out of them, and then cover them up with a moist towel, let them rise for 2 more hours, and then you punch them down and put them. I had a baking table just for the bread, and then I'd and big flour bin underneath that baking table. I'd throw some flour on the table, pull the dough out, and then cut it into about 1 pound portions, and then I'd roll them out and I'd lay them in these baguette pans. I think you can buy them at Williams Sonoma, and they're kind of like half moon in shape, and four to about the size of a sheet pan, and then they have perforated holes in them, and then I'd roll them all out. I'd let them rise for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then I would cut 3 slices in the top of each. I had a little razor knife that right. I'd make 3 slits in the top of the bread and put them in the oven. And then I had a quart of water that I would pour in a 1-inch sheet pan that was in the very bottom of the oven and that was in there all the time that would be hot. And that water would hit the pan and create steam. And I'd shut the door and 18 to 20 minutes later, I'd have French bread, pull them out, and I had a big rack that I put all, I'd do 24 loaves at a time.
Ooh.
And that's what I would serve that day. And I very seldom had leftover bread, but if I did, I'd use the leftover bread for croutons, things like that. Breadcrumbs, I used every bit of it. But I made the bread every single day. And then when I started, and then when we, after the flood, and we moved to the other, the bigger restaurant, went from 40 seats to about 125 seats, I would start the bread, and then I had Beth came in after a few years and did the bread because there was so much to do, and we would that's how we rolled. Yeah,
there you have it. How to make bread right there from the show. All right, you have any big plans for the weekend, or are you gonna kind of relax after a hectic week?
I'm gonna probably take it easy. I went with my brother and sister to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Quentin Tarantino's latest movie.
Any good?
With Leonardo and Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie, it was tremendous. Absolutely. 5 stars out of 5.
Come on. 5 stars out of 5 stars?
Fucking A, Bubba.
Come on.
Fucking A.
Come on.
Just look, you grew up in that era, and I'm not going to tell you a thing about the movie except go see it, everybody.
All right.
You will be blown away. It's funny. it was the 2 day, the day of and the day before Sharon Tate's murders. And
is that what the film centers around?
Well, it's more around the whole scene, the lifestyle and the scene in Hollywood. Yes, there's some time spent at the Spahn Ranch where Manson's crew lived, and there's a scene out there, but it's more about, you know, an aging Western star, Leo, and his stunt double, Brad Pitt. It's just a movie. It's a Tarantino movie. That's all I'm going to say. And it's absolutely worth the price of admission.
There you have it.
And pay attention to all the details and the dog food. I mean, you have to see it. I haven't seen a movie that good in a while.
All right.
I recommend it. Yeah, really
he used to review movies on a regular basis. We don't do that very much.
No, we don't, because I haven't seen any movies worth reviewing lately.
But this
is a great movie, and if you see it, if you ever go see it, but you'll love the music, and you'll love the period piece, you know,
68, 69. Yeah.
I mean, it's rocking. The cars, the neon, you know, it's Hollywood, baby. I mean, you'll love it. You'll just love it.
I was a little kid. That was more you than me. I was just like, I was watching TV.
It was more than me than you, but you'll get it.
Right now.
What went down.
I used to watch all you guys and like, what is that all about, man? You guys are like losing your minds, I think, man. We went from Dobie Gillis to, Charles Manson. Like, it made no sense.
So. But the Westerns that are in there, and, you know, they do commercials and stuff.
Pretty funny.
If you want to, anybody want to see a very entertaining movie from that era, it's worth it. That's all I can say.
All right. There you have it, the All Marine Radio Head Show. All right, sir, first of all, wonderful to hear that you had such a good time with your brother and sister. And
I really did,
And that you didn't fight. So well done, bon bon. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, and that's still, you'll be going the following week to the Air Force Academy, correct?
September 21st.
Okay, we'll talk again about that.
All right. Next week. I'd love to. All right, bud. Have a good one.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
There you have it. The one and only All Marine Radio Head Chef, P. Kimball Holm. Heading out the door with Van Morrison singing The Bright Side of the Road. I love this song. Happy song.
Right side of the road.
I have no idea what he's singing.
Oh, man. Enjoy it.
Van Morrison. On a Friday. Your 50,000 watt music mother of the valley. All Van Morrison all the time. That'll do it on a Friday. Let me encourage you, go out and change somebody's life this weekend. Keep your eyes and ears open. Don't be afraid to touch somebody's life and make it better. It's what this whole thing is about. And start off the show talking about two things. Ignorance and isolation. And the more I talk about living with trauma, the more I'm convinced that those are the two things that are the biggest fight. Ignorance is just, we're all ignorant about it. It's not something we grew up learning about. It's not something we grew up talking about it. And so, so if you go to the All Marine Radio website and you go to Post-Traumatic Winning tab, scroll down that thing and find the three goals and nine commandments of post-traumatic winning. That's a great place to start. If you go to the podcast page and just type in winning and watch what comes up, start there too. And just listen. And then just use that knowledge. Because you don't need to be a PhD to change somebody's life. You don't need to be a therapist to change somebody's life. All you have to do is be somebody who cares. And who's not afraid of the truth. And that starts a conversation that I believe rescues people from isolation and then prevents them from going back to isolation. So, it's all good, man. It's all good, but I would challenge every one of you listening to change somebody's life. And just take it from me. Your days will be filled with joy that you don't even know. Yeah, honestly, it is the coolest. It is the coolest existence that you can live on a Friday. The coolest radio show on the coolest radio network on the coolest day of the week. Wishing you a coolest weekend. And don't forget to live the high life. We owe it to the people who didn't come back to do that. And don't let ignorance, don't let isolation stand in your way. Because in doing that, you honor their memory. Next week, don't you know, If you didn't hear this earlier, but General Tony Zinni is going to come on and talk about discipline. I'm fired up for that. The burning bush, as he's known here on All Marine Radio. For good reason, too. That's not even a joke. Like, I might say that joking about some people. Yeah, that's no joke when it comes to him. Because he's straight up legit burning bush. He speaks the truth, man. So, one of my personal heroes, General Anthony C. Zinni. So, anyway, he might come on next week. I'm not sure when we're going to record the piece that we'll do. And then, going to have somebody who just published a pretty big study on sleep and veterans. Going to have Anne Germain on, Dr. Anne Germain on. She's going to come on. Alex Holling's going to join us. So, Next week will be a cool week of radio. And then the week after that, out to Colorado Springs to spend some time at the United States Air Force Academy. Come back, and then on Friday, spend some time with 2nd Battalion 5th Marines down at Camp Pendleton, fired up about that. And then the following week, head back to the 2nd Marine Division and going to do work with them. Then a couple weeks later, headed to Washington, D.C. to do a post-traumatic winning at the Modern Day Marine Expo, the big one in D.C. And then after that, let's see, where am I headed? The Commander's Comp course in Quantico in October. Boston College in January. Yeah, boom. So anyway, and there's about six other ones that are looming out there. So, post-traumatic winning, baby. Just get on board. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Go do something good on a Friday. All Marine Radio is now over and now out.